Please turn to Philippians chapter 4 to introduce our lesson. We want to read verse 9. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The inspired writer was the Apostle Paul, and this is a statement that he wrote to the Christians in the city of Philippi. Paul was very close to those brethren. He loved them, and they loved him. We read about his work in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. He faced quite a bit of hardship there, but he remained faithful to the Lord. And he spent quite a bit of time teaching and preaching in that city, and he set a wonderful example before the Christians in Philippi. But in this particular verse, Paul instructed the Christians in Philippi to do certain things. He instructed them to do the things that they had learned, that they had received, that they had heard, and that they had seen in him. Now, when he mentioned the things that they had learned, received, and heard, those are all referring to the instructions that Paul gave them. It's referring to his teaching. But the things that they had seen have reference to Paul's example. That is, the things that he did. So in this verse, Paul was teaching the Christians in Philippi to practice his teaching and to follow his example. Now, by way of application, we need to do the same thing. We need to practice Paul's teaching, and we need to follow his example. So it would behoove us to study carefully his writings so that we will understand his teaching, and of course, especially in the book of Acts, are we able to read about the example that he set forth. And we need to be very familiar with his instructions as well as his example, because if we will practice his instructions and follow his example, we are assured of a very special blessing. Notice that at the latter part of verse 9, Paul said, if you'll do those things, he said, the God of peace shall be with you. What a wonderful blessing that is, knowing that God is with us. The Bible teaches us that God will not forsake his people. Sometimes when I read that statement in the Bible, or when I make that statement, I remember a number of years ago, I began a sermon by asking the audience, have you ever felt that God has forsaken you? And it's kind of hard to judge by looks, but I believe I saw a few people in the audience who were just about to put up their hands. I wasn't asking for a show of hands, but I knew about some of the hardships that some of the people were facing in the audience. And I wanted them to be assured that God does not forsake his people, even though there are times when we face great hardships and great difficulties. Well, having the God of peace be with us does not occur by accident. It's a very special blessing. But if we will follow Paul's instructions, if we will follow his example, we have the assurance that the God of peace will be with us. Now, because of the holiday season, for a little while this evening, we want to concentrate on one particular activity that Paul included in both his teaching as well as his example. We want to talk about giving thanks. Well, let's begin with Paul's example of giving thanks. And as you examine the book of Acts, read about his ministry, and as you study his writings, you can't help but be impressed with the fact that he was devoted to the giving of thanks. The Bible teaches that Paul often expressed his gratitude unto God? Well, let's consider several passages. For one thing, he thanked God for his brethren and his friends. Since we're in the book of Philippians, look at chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Paul was grateful for the Christians, that is his brethren, in the city of Philippi. Not only in Philippi, but also in Colossae. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Now, these are just two examples of the many occasions when Paul thanked God for his brethren and for his friends. You know, we need to follow his example in that regard. He was grateful for those who had been of assistance to him, those that he had taught over the years, and he let these brethren know how grateful he was for them. But notice, he was actually expressing his gratitude unto God. But as he did so, he let these Christians understand that. Another occasion when Paul gave thanks was during a great storm. Let's look at Acts chapter 27 and read verses 35 and 36. Paul had made an appeal unto Caesar, and he was on his way to Rome. And a great storm arose. And it was such a serious matter that the people on board had not eaten anything for 14 days. It sounds like their hope for being saved from that storm was pretty much gone. Let's notice what Paul did, verses 35 and 36. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat or some food. Notice the impact that Paul's example had upon the other people on this ship. If my memory is correct, there were about 276 people on board. That's a lot of people on a small ship that they had back in those days. Now, the ship eventually was destroyed, but all the passengers escaped safely to land. There wasn't one soul lost. Notice that Paul took the time to thank God for food during that storm. That had a tremendous impact upon the people who were there. They were of good cheer after that, and they were also able to eat some food. Well, they needed some nourishment because they were going to be swimming to land. And, of course, that food would help to nourish their bodies so they'd be able to have the strength to make that swim. Chapter 28 and verse 15, we find that Paul thanked God when his friends met him on his way to Rome. Chapter 28 and verse 15 says, And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Some friends met Paul when he was on his way to Rome, and he was grateful for that. He thanked God for the victory that he gives. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Now, you'll recognize 1 Corinthians 15 as the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. And Before Paul gave his final admonition in verse 58, he expressed his gratitude to God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He was talking about the hope of being resurrected at that last great day. Notice that Paul described that as a victory. But he expressed his gratitude to God for that victory. You know, once in a while, after a sporting event, there'll be a team, of course, that's the winner. There'll be a team that's the loser. Doesn't happen very often anymore, but once in a while, you'll see the team that won the competition, regardless of what sport it might be, take the time to kneel down in prayer. Quite often, members from both teams will come together and pray. I don't know about you, but I find that to be very encouraging. Well, God gives his people the hope of victory. And we need to follow Paul's example and be grateful for that. But in addition to being grateful to God, Paul was thankful to Christ for what the Lord did on his behalf. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's begin at verse 12. Paul was thankful to Christ for saving him and putting him into the ministry. And keep in mind that at one time, Paul had abused the followers of the Lord. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I would say that Paul was grateful to the Lord for what he did on his behalf. Well, these passages and many more that we could read indicate that Paul was thankful. Now, we're concerned about following his example and following his instructions. I think we've seen from his example that Paul was grateful for many things, and he wasn't hesitant to express his gratitude. Why is it so important for us to follow his example? Well, I think we can answer that question by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now that was written by the Apostle Paul, and he was calling upon the Christians in Corinth to be followers or imitators of him. And of course, he was following or imitating Christ. As you study the gospel accounts, it's interesting to see how many times Jesus prayed. And while all the accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, emphasize the Lord's prayer life, it seems that Luke placed special emphasis on it. He showed that Jesus prayed often, and on many occasions, and for a variety of circumstances, or in a variety of circumstances. Jesus was devoted to prayer. Well, what did Paul do? He followed his example. I don't know that Paul ever met Christ personally during the Lord's ministry. I do know that he met the Lord when he was traveling on the road to Damascus. He saw the Lord in his resurrected state that would qualify him to serve as an apostle. And the Lord gave him a mission. But Paul knew about the example set by the Lord. He followed the Lord's example, and he called upon Christians to follow his example, because in so doing, ultimately, who are we imitating? Well, we're imitating Christ the Lord. Let's turn our attention now to Paul's teaching or instructions on giving thanks. We've just seen from several passages that he was grateful to God. What about his teaching? Well, quite often in his letters, Paul taught Christians to be thankful. Colossians chapter 2, let's read verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Also chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I think it's interesting that quite often giving thanks is mentioned in connection with prayer. When we pray, we ask God to supply our needs. We intercede on behalf of others. We let him know our concerns. But the Bible also emphasizes the fact that we need to include thanksgiving in our prayers. We always need to be grateful to God. In my judgment, that's very helpful to us. I think it's pleasing to God. He wants to know that we appreciate what he does on our behalf. But then it's helpful to us, because when we reflect on God's blessings that he's already given us, that gives us confidence that he will continue to bless us in the future. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and read verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's Paul's first letter to the Christians in Thessalonica. And he says that we're to give thanks in everything. That's God's will. Well, we need to consider that a matter of utmost importance. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I think these verses will suffice to show that Paul taught Christians to be thankful. We know about the example that he set. He often gave thanks, but he taught Christians to be thankful as well. Now, why is it so important for us to follow Paul's instructions? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 and read verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37 says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. We've been looking at some of Paul's instructions for Christians to be thankful. Did those instructions actually originate with him? No. He said, the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. So as we follow the commandments that are written down by the Apostle Paul, we're actually following the commandments of our Lord. Well, I think that verse explains why it's so important for us to follow the instructions that Paul has written down. But we need to point out that in his instructions, Paul associated the giving of thanks with a number of other subjects. For one thing, he tied in the giving of thanks with giving in general. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We want to read verses 6 and 7. Now, Paul gave instructions in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, that God's people are to give on the first day of the week. But then in the second letter, he supplied some additional instructions that will help us as we give and as we plan our giving. Notice what he tied in with giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now go down to verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want you to notice how Paul tied in being thankful with our giving. Now, that's a very important matter. When we're grateful for the blessing that God bestows upon us, we'll want to follow his instructions for giving. Another act of worship is singing. Let's notice how thanksgiving is tied in with our singing. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we sing, the Bible teaches us to have grace in our hearts. We're also to have thanksgiving in our hearts. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, and we want to point out how giving thanks is helpful when it comes to overcoming worry or anxiety. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be careful or anxious for nothing. In other words, God's people are to avoid being filled with worry. What's the alternative? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I like the song that we were singing earlier about counting our blessings. I wish I could have led all the verses. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of voice. I had to have some left over for this lesson. But it teaches a very powerful lesson. Sometimes we face circumstances that are difficult, some things that we just as soon not have to deal with, but they're part of this life. One thing that will help us is to always be grateful to God for the things that he blesses us with. That will go a long way toward helping us avoid being filled with anxiety or worry. We're mindful of what God has done for us in the past. That gives us confidence that he will bless us in the future. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul associated the giving of thanks with having the peace of God in our hearts and being in the one body. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We always need to be grateful for the one body, which of course is the church. And let's look at verse 17 of the same chapter. Paul tied in the giving of thanks with submitting to the Lord's authority. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That refers to all things that we do and all things that we say. Well, what about the things that we do and say? We're to do and say those things that can be said or done in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, we must do and say the things that he authorizes us to say and do. How do we know what the Lord authorizes us to say and do? Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Submitting to the Lord's authority is a blessing. It's not a burden. If we approach submitting to his authority with gratitude, that is, with thanksgiving, it won't be a burden. As a matter of fact, it'll be a joy. I've used the expression before, or the illustration. When I was a little boy, sometimes my mother would tell me what to do, and I'd say, Mama, do I have to? I know that poor woman had to get tired of me saying that. That's just a little boy that has to learn the ways of the Lord and the ways of his mama. But you know, when we become mature adults, we ought not to have that disposition toward doing the Lord's will. God, do I have to? No. We know what the Lord wants us to say and do, and with thanksgiving in our hearts, it'll be a joy to do that, as well as to say that. Well, these are some activities that are addressed in the Bible that are associated with the giving of thanks. I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to get the impression that we need to be thankful for everything that we do, and thankful for everything, or thankful in everything that we do. Paul was grateful to God. We looked at his example. But then he taught his fellow Christians, and that includes us, to be grateful as well. Well, we have shown from the scriptures how Paul was thankful and how he taught the Lord's followers to be thankful. And we have the assurance of a very special blessing if we will follow his example and follow his instructions. The God of peace shall be with you. You know, a lot of people in our world today don't enjoy that blessing. But they need to see us as people who have the peace of the Lord inside us, and that has made a difference in our lives. Now, Paul was grateful for the way that the Christians in Rome had undergone a change. They went from their former lives before they were Christians to being free from sin when they became Christians, and Paul was grateful for that. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and read verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked, there's this expression of gratitude, that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. The people in Rome had learned the gospel, they had obeyed it. They were taught the truth, and they responded to it in the right way. And Paul was grateful for that. You see, they went from being servants of sin to being servants of righteousness. That occurred when they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to them. Now, exactly what had they done? Let's look back earlier in this chapter at verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. These verses explain to us when that change takes place. That is, when we turn from being servants of sin to being servants of righteousness. And that's a matter of thanksgiving.